Good morning. First of all, I want to apologize for not being here 2 weeks ago. I had a long planned trip that I was on, and I guess I misjudged the amount of questions that were going to come up.
Fair apologize to Mike Izzo. He took the heat.
I did get to see my new granddaughter, so I'll show the baby picture.
You're forgiven. You're forgiven.
But I do apologize for not being here.
Look just like his grandpa.
I can't talk about my granddaughter. One of the weaknesses that your airport has is a lack of adequate parking space for all types of aircraft, but particularly for the smaller aircraft that need to be tied down to the ground when they're not flying. I know some confusion about the numbers. We actually have 29 paved tie-down spaces for permanent use. We give one of those to the, and I gave you a drawing of this in your packets this week. We give one of those to the Civil Air Patrol, so really we have 28 public permanent tie-down spaces. 9 of those spaces are on the taxi lane that we built a few years ago, going back to the corporate hangar area. So technically, those are not valid parking spots, even though we use them and we'll probably use them for quite a while. That leaves us with 19 spots for permanent use. We also have 10 tie-downs that are in the grass area, which we can't give away. Nobody wants to park their airplane on the grass. We really don't consider those as part of the discussion today. We also have a transit parking area, which is in front of the terminal area, in front of the terminal. And if you're out there eating lunch, those are the airplanes you see parked out there all the time. The problem that we have is those spots fill up fairly regularly, especially in the summer months. And anytime we get some corporate aircraft, the larger jets that come in here, that eats up a lot of that space. And those airplanes that are using those spots need to go someplace. They start taking up the empty permanent spots. You know, people are out flying, and that creates a problem. Or they'll just start parking anywhere. You'll see them parked in front of the restaurant or any paved area where people think that it's okay to park. And that creates a safety hazard for a couple of reasons.
Isn't there anybody out there parking them? Like, do you see
the
bigger?
There is. Okay. They're not there all the time. And that is something that we need. It's something that the county can't really do. We don't have the presence out there or the manpower. We recognized that several years ago. Georgetown Air Services, who has always been doing that for us, we entered into a tie-down management agreement in 2008. And renewed it in 2009 for them because they're the on-scene experts. They know what's going on. They know who's in what spots.
But they're also getting revenue from the tie-downs, right?
Right.
Shouldn't they be responsible for parking them?
And in exchange for that, they pay us $500 a month as a management fee. And the last time we talked about this was December of 2008, so I know three of you weren't part of that discussion, but... And that agreement expired at the end of last year, and we haven't renewed it for a couple of reasons, but we're still operating under the same conditions, same terms. It benefits both of us, and we've $500 a month is a good deal for the county with all that. But they are the experts out there, and Garrett is here today. He can, if you have any questions about what goes on out there. The other thing that I gave you in your packet is the actual usage of the spots. If you have that, the top line is the 28 spaces that, are usable right now. The bottom line is the 19 that we technically have, and then the blue squiggly line is our actual usage. And you can see that for the three-year period, we've been at or above that 19 number the entire time. So there's a definite demand for permanent tie-down spaces out there. As I said, one of the bigger problems is really the transit parking. Because we have such limited transit spaces, they have to go looking for other places to park. And the transit traffic, these are the people that have second homes in the county that come down for the weekend. They're people that are here to do business. It's regular tourists. And Garrett can tell you that the ramp fills up very quickly, and then parking those people becomes a problem.
Now, are they actually tied down, or are they just parking?
Once we run out of tie-down spaces.
The transient, in front of the terminal where we eat.
Those are tied down. There are tie-down spaces there, but once you start putting the jet aircraft in there, those spaces go away very quickly, and they end up being parked in places that they're not able to tie down, like in front of the restaurant, back on the taxi lane. And the smaller aircraft, it doesn't take much wind. You know, that's how airplanes fly, is wind going over the wings. It doesn't take much wind in a small storm to get those airplanes flying, flip them over, et cetera. The other safety issue that you have is you now have aircraft, you know, with propellers turning in places where people don't expect to see them. You know, and you can say, well, you know, who's not going to see an aircraft? And I was thinking about this the other day going through the Walmart parking lot, that, you know, if you're cutting across an empty parking lot, you don't expect to see them, but if they're going down the rows, you know, they're a lot easier to see. And it's the same thing with the airplanes out there. When you're off the taxiway, you're in places where you don't expect to be seen. You know, there's been a lot of cases, people walking into turning propellers and you know, getting seriously hurt. A
lot of accidents in parking lots that way.
Right. So our solution to all this is a proposed tie-down apron expansion project, which will add 18 spaces, and it's included in your drawing there. We've had it designed. We've put it out to bid. And the lowest bidder was Mumford & Miller with $444,462.50. This is not your typical parking lot. You know, there was a lot of earthwork that's involved. We use a special hot mix formula that's especially made for aircraft usage. The loads that you see on an airport are different than on a road. You know, roads are designed for a rolling load. This is more designed for a specific point load. The P401 mix gets a little bit less deflection under those types of loads. It's specifically designed for this type of a use. We also needed 17 inches of material because of the actual frost conditions that we have at the airport. So we have 9 inches of the processed concrete left over from the 1028 project, which we had thought we were going to have more left over, and turns out we had less. We're going to have to bring in 4 inches of fill, 4 inches of sub-base material to put under the 4 inches of P401. P401 is a little more expensive than regular highway mix, but it makes more sense for this type of use. We've decreased the amount of P401 from 5 inches to 4 inches, just because of the lighter type aircraft that we expect to see using the pavement. We also have taxiway lights. We have 14 stake-mounted taxiway lights that need to be replaced with in-pavement lights because of where the ramp is going to be, which is alongside the taxiway. And then there's also a maintenance of traffic item, which involves some personnel, gate guards, et cetera, as the construction vehicles are moving around the airport. That all kind of increased the cost over just building a parking lot somewhere. There was a question whether this was grant eligible. In order to be grant eligible, the project has to be for the non-exclusive use of the public. And since these will be our permanent tie-down spaces, they're not non-exclusive, so that it wouldn't be grant eligible. If we were to just say, okay, these will be our transit parking spaces, let's try to get a grant, the likelihood of actually getting a grant is pretty small. The priority of this project is well below any of the other projects that we have. And, you know, if they were to give us money, it would take away from things like the runway extension, approach lighting, things that we're trying to get for the airport. In addition to that, under a grant, we'd have to do things like use Davis-Bacon wage rates, have a DBE program, disadvantaged business enterprise, et cetera. And it would also commit us to a pavement maintenance program for this ramp for the next 20 years, which would add to the cost. I know you're concerned with the payback on this, and unfortunately, this is probably one of those projects that is not going to pay back any anytime soon. You know, even a full ramp for the next 40 or 50 years is not going to pay back the cost of this project. But that's not unusual for the airport. We have a lot of projects where there's no obvious financial payback, things like the Crosswind runway. We extended the ramp, I guess, about 10 years ago. The main terminal apron, we expanded that. There's no direct payback on that. Things like the runway extension, these are all projects that,
But the charm was we got so much grant money on those other projects. I mean, it's easy to, I guess, accept those high costs in these other parts of the project because we were only paying, 5% or 10%.
Right. But even with the runway extension,
Designed this? Did we design it in-house or did we ask somebody to design it?
Urban Engineers.
Urban Engineers.
Who's Urban Engineers?
Did we ever maybe question whether they over-engineer? Because you're looking at, over $20,000 per, tie down? If you're having 18 spaces in the 400... Didn't it come to $20,000 per parking place?
Right.
Which, to the guy like me, sounds like a lot of money for a parking place.
Right.
Is there any other way to ask for or maybe some value engineering? I know we've done value engineering where maybe we could pay another engineering firm to look at this and see if they would have any cost savings. Does that make sense, Mike, or anybody, or Jim?
Was when we did the last apron expansion 10 years ago that Jim was talking about, the pavement actually failed. And we had to pay $35,000 in a change order to go in and fill out the pavement and put a thicker lift of pavement in. So, notoriously, the soils at the airport are really bad. If you dig in the ground, there's some places where if you pull it out and it looks just like so we might be a little conservative on that section, but at the same time, we don't want it to fail and have to pay more money to go in and add additional pavement because this was the file from just dealing with the pavement failure that we had 10 years ago.
It says here a special hot mix. I mean, if you just did it all in concrete. In concrete?
Concrete wouldn't be cheaper.
It wouldn't? Okay.
The apron expansion 10 years ago, one thing we did use was a Del Dot, basically a road mix, and that's one reason why it failed, where in this case we're using the FAA airplane mix. So again, it does cost more, but at the same time, it doesn't fail either.
Mm-hmm. Jim, how? Help me understand this. This drawing you gave us.
Yes.
How many tie downs are there on this drawing that you can use? And where are they?
There are 29 permanent tie downs.
That we can utilize?
Right. Rows A, B, C, D, E, and G.
A, B, C, D, E, and G. Okay, now.
That's
any
29.
Of these in spaces we shouldn't be using? You talked about taxiways.
C and D are on the taxi lane that goes back to the corporate hangar area.
Okay, so that's ones we shouldn't be.
Right.
Okay.
We're parking in the road, basically, there.
So A, B, E, and G.
Right. And that should, you should come up with 19 spaces.
There's 19 there.
Take away the Civil Air Patrol.
Okay, so we have 19 today.
Correct.
That we can utilize. And the proposal was to add 19 more?
18 more in the gray shaded area.
18. And
we're almost doubling.
This chart you gave us the last how many years it's been, you haven't exceeded 28 spaces being utilized.
Correct.
Correct? But we want 37.
But we have exceeded the 19 that we technically have you know, you take away the 9 from the 28, that at least you would be...
I understand that. I guess I'm just wondering, that's with what we have today and what we're proposing is 37 tie downs total. We got 18 today we can use. We want to add 19, right?
19 today plus 18.
And if my math is correct, it's 37.
Right.
And we've never used over 28.
But the problem is with the transient parking, and maybe Garrett can come up and explain that, but it's as you get the transient traffic that comes in, you know, with a couple of jets parked out there, now you've only got about 7 transient
spots. A big jet can
spots.
Take up a couple spaces, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. And it's not unusual.
We weren't counting the transient parking in the 18 spaces.
Right.
Right.
But adding these 18 would allow us to open up rows A and B as transient parking, and then you have transient, you have a safer transient parking area.
What do we charge these people to park these planes out here?
Well, as I said, we have this agreement with Georgetown Air Services. So the county gets $500 a month.
A month for all the tie downs.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
And Georgetown Air Services manages the permanent tie downs and the overnight parking.
Okay.
And Garrett could probably come up and explain what he charges, but I believe it's $50 a month for a permanent tie down space.
I mean, one of the issues, I guess, is that we've spent, it's a lot of money. We've spent already, I guess, $80,000 on the engineering side of it. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of in a rock and a hard spot. If you don't move forward, we've lost $80,000.
Although that design will still be on the shelf if
right.
we do it.
Well,
you
could use that tree. Put it on the shelf next to our snow removal equipment building.
Tree good.
I have
it
a space.
It might be like this runway down here. If we reduce it down, we'll still have to pay more and have it done again.
Is there a option for phasing? Is there a way this project could easily, let's say, part of it now to add X, you know, a number of spots, and then maybe in a couple years add another couple spots, so the pain would be spread out a little bit? The concern is it's such a big expense, and then, like I say, there's really enough. We don't see the return coming to the county side of it, and we know there's safety issues and other issues like that, and convenience and things like that, but. I'm just wondering, and what Mike pointed out, that we've never really exceeded, 28, 29 spots.
In permanent tie-down spaces.
Right, right.
But we have
well, it can be busy
many times exceeded
oh,
the
yeah,
overall
I'm
parking
sure.
ability of the airport.
I mean, could you do, it looked like to me this is one strip of ground we're dealing with. I mean, is it possible to do that thing in, like George said, can you do half at a time, or? Because you're going to do the same thing to the ground. I assume you're going to do the same thing as far as your grading and what you got to pack put underneath of it, and the top coating is all the same.
Right. I don't think, and maybe Mike can help me out on this one, but I don't think if you just cut those in half, you're going to cut the price in half.
You're not half kinda, the funds for this? Is that the, I mean?
It's just a lot of, I mean, $500,000 is a lot of money.
Spend it here. We don't have it to spend somewhere else.
Park airplanes that the county gets back $500 a month.
We can put it in the Greenwood Library.
But you also never know what you're missing out on by not having adequate parking for people.
When
a business comes here looking for a place to start their business, and you know they operate a fleet of aircraft. If they come here and there's no place to park their airplane. They may go someplace else because
do
now
we have anybody
have
like that right now? Like you're just like the scenario just do we have anybody out there at the airport that or in the county that uses it does have a fleet of airplanes? I don't.
We have one business that has an aircraft at the airport.
Right.
It's a business in Lewis, and he's got 4 or 5 different locations around the Mid-Atlantic, and he uses that airplane to go, you know, to run his operation.
But they don't have a fleet, right?
Well, he has one. Air. And I haven't talked to him, but I would imagine if he's going to go someplace and look to expand it to another location, he's going to go someplace where he can fly his airplane and operate the business. And the same thing would happen. You don't know who's out there now. someplace else looking to expand into Sussex County, and he does the same thing, operates an airplane or a fleet of airplanes. And he, the first time he comes here to see if he wants to put his business in Millsboro or someplace, he can't find a place to park his airplane, he's gonna go someplace else.
Well, address the phasing like Mike just brought up, is that feasible? That'd be.
We would have to look at the plan to see how we could repackage them to redid them, you know, you're mostly right in that. I do think it would reduce the material. Obviously, most of the cost of this project is in the base and the pavement and the subgrade and the excavation of the ground to put it in. So most of that is proportional. We got a little bit of a hiccup in dealing with the taxiway lights, but because they have to be rerouted around this area.
We're gonna use them, we're not getting rid of them, we're gonna, just gonna reroute them.
Replacing them with a different type of light.
Right, but we'll be able to still use the old light, the old lights aren't that old, are they, are we?
No, the old lights are the stake mounted with the globes on them, the new lights are in pavement, kind of cat eye type lights.
LEDs or something, the LEDs?
No.
No?
So we wouldn't have any use for the other ones ever?
Use them for parts for the other.
Backup or something.
I don't think there's not a drop dead rush on this, at least if I'm either not. I'd like to see them come back with the thing on, at least do it in two halves.
We can look at, I'm gonna.
God sakes, don't send an engineer to it then.
No, it would be engineered. Right.
How many bids did we have?
Six.
Five or six.
Six bids?
Yeah.
Now, NASCAR weekend, when you have lots of planes and you run out of tie down areas, you put them on the grass? I think I heard you say.
But you'd have.
NASCAR weekend is not our.
Well, whenever the big weekend is, they go on the grass when there is overflow?
The smaller airplanes do. The jet aircraft that we get won't go on the grass.
No, you don't put that, but you do use the grassy area as overflow for those small airplanes when you have a big weekend.
Jim's not around on the weekends. He doesn't
work for the county.
He's babysitting. Well, I appreciate the close scrutiny that the council's given to this project. Just to answer Mr. Phillips' question, this weekend coming up will be our busiest weekend of the year. NASCAR weekend is not so much anymore. Memorial Day is. A lot of people are coming down this weekend. The Jets get the priority parking out front. Whatever's left, people, it's a first-come, first-served basis. Talking about the transients, not the base to tie down the people. When we run out of tie down spaces, we don't put them in the grass. Most people don't want to be in the grass. It gets soft and there's ruts and so forth. We put them out next to the corporate hangers, the big blue hangers in the back, uh-huh, where there are no ropes. And we just sort of put chocks under their tires and hope they stay where they are.
We don't have a
swim. When was the last time a plane flipped over because of the wind?
Oh, not in my time Georgetown, never. Okay. But, you know, it's happened at other airports, but, you know, for the most part, we've been fortunate, and it takes probably a good amount of wind, probably a 50 or 60 knot wind before it can really push a plane around. So it's a concern. It's a safety concern, not just the flipping of the plane. That wouldn't necessarily hurt anybody except the plane. But like Jim was saying, we have a lot of people just wandering on the ramp to their planes. They're unloading their bags. There's small kids walking from the plane to the terminal building. So that's the concern I have. I only have two people there on the weekends. I can't really afford to have any more out there really closely monitoring every single pedestrian. So I think we do a really good job with what we have to work with out there. But, you know, the question about payback is an important question, and I can tell you that compared to Cambridge Airport, Cape May, Wildwood Airport, Salisbury, Ocean City, Maryland, they have acres of ramp space. I mean, it's you know, for me, it's, I go down there and I'm just so envious to see what they have built in their infrastructure or their ramp space. Just a few of the, you know, a few of the corporations that come to mind that use our airport frequently: PickSuite Corporation was just in here last week, Prudential Insurance, IBM, Staples, M&T Bank comes in every week, eBay's been in, J. Crew, Under Armour, Rollins, and of course Harris Teeter. And Harris Teeter comes in very frequently because they're an active developer here in the county. And I don't know how many jobs that Harris Teeter has put into the county, but where they have three or four stores now, mm-hmm, there's got to be 600, 700, 800 jobs that exist. And I really don't think they'd be here in Sussex County if we didn't have this airport for them to service.
Or they'd be flying to Salisbury and having to drive a little bit further.
But they do drop in, and, you know, the amount of the frequency with which they use it would created an undue burden to them to go to Salisbury.
Less competitive.
I would think so.
Right. I understand all that part. We're living in this economic climate. I don't know the perception of the public as we go spend $500,000 on tie downs for these people that can afford these airplanes and stuff like that. And it just maybe the impression doesn't look good.
Well, most of the people that can afford the airplane also afford the second home in Bethany or Rehoboth or wherever they go.
Right.
And they're creating a part of your tax base as well.
I know.
I mean, would they consider a custom tie down spot where they'd pay an extra $20,000 so they know whenever they land they've got their spot right
that
there waiting
next
for them?
Question.
I mean, can we pass some cost on to those?
The rate structure, because that question came up of what Georgetown Air Services is charging for a permanent tie down spot, we charge them $50 a month, and then they're more or less guaranteed a spot. But as Jim's Graf pointed out, we're kind of maxed out on what the guaranteed spots are, the 29 spots we have.
How competitive are you with, say, Salisbury or Cambridge or?
As far as rate?
Yeah.
We're on the low side. I think it's 60 or 70 or $80 a month at some of these other airports.
Okay.
We charge $10 a night for overnight parking. If somebody comes down for an overnight, they pay $10 a night.
I don't think anybody on this council, we realize it's got something to do with economic development. I think that's, we understand that part of it, and we're all for that. I think the big thing is just $500,000 that's why my question was, is it possible to do this thing in halves? If you got 10 more spots now, that's 10 you didn't have.
And Jim and I did have that discussion early on.
That would give you 28 again.
That's what I was saying. I said I'd be thrilled with 10 spots, but the conversation was about the cost. It wasn't a dollar for dollar.
Right. And it might not be. I guess it's the fact it's just when you spend it, maybe. Maybe if we could do a part now and next year, maybe look at another part to see how the economy is. Maybe the economy's picked up. We've got to, whatever. That's only me speaking.
Well, it doesn't look like this is right for a vote. I think Mr. Izzo has offered to bring us back some revised numbers to phase this in. So
it gives us the ability to look at a phased-in project versus what we have in front of us today.
What I need to do is see if we can somehow repackage the plan in-house, because it's not the kind of thing you can do a change order. We would have to rebid it because the scope of the work is reduced.
Right.
And by law, a contractor doesn't have to observe its prices, reduce the project by more than 25%.
Sure.
So I'd have to see if I could get the plans from Urban Engineers and we could retool it in-house to make this work.
Okay.
I still can't over Urban Engineers charged us $87,000 for the layout of a piece of land. We're just flat piece of land.
Jim, do we have?
It's just
right.
That's totally ridiculous to me.
Let me just ask Jim: with our staff, do we have the ability to? I mean, it may take a little more time, but do we have the ability to have designed that parking lot possibly in house? Mike,
not hard me.
If I can use the base information, if they can give it to me in a format like an AutoCAD format.
We've paid for it, right? We ought to be able to own it,
paid
right?
For it, we own it.
Right. So why don't we take that?
That price, I hope so.
But even if we ended up having to spend that $80,000, but if we ended up saving, at the other end of it, it's still going to, the total project will come in maybe better. But there's got to be something. I mean, I guess when we get these kind of additions or something, Jim, maybe you ought to have that conversation. Should we do this in house? Because there's not getting any grant funding and this and that. In other words, because that might be a way for us to keep the cost might have cost us $30,000 to have
I don't think we could have done this project from scratch in-house because we didn't know enough about the geometrics of the aircraft and how to do the taxiway lights.
Right.
Okay.
But now that we have seen it, I think we could probably figure it out.
Okay.
I take it this company is, their forte is airports.
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. Maybe if you could do that, if you could come back with something we can look at. We know what item A is. B would be, to have.
I think there's a desire to want to do this.
It just when and how.
Comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
It's.
Well, now we have a good feel for unit prices for doing this work, using the contractors, to kind of figure out where you can adjust, to get the most bang for your buck.
Okay.
I do have a question, though.
Yes, sir.
We bid this project out. Do we need to do something with those bins?
Well, Mr. Moore, what do we do?
Well, by law, you should award it within 30 days. Now, that's not to say that a contractor wouldn't honor his bid, but if he did want to, and I'll have to read the language of the specs, and I'll ship it over to David or whoever, but a contractor could withdraw his bid.
Right. I would need to look at the request.
But the bid is for $444,000. We would have to decline the bid or not award the bid.
If we were going to repackage it, we would have to reject these bids.
Right.
And authorize the engineering department to rebid the project with 50% of the tie down spaces or something along those lines.
Okay.
But we can report back.
Thank you very
much. It would be June 8th or something next time. It's June 8th.
Right, next meeting, that way we can even say.
I don't think we can get it done by next Tuesday.
We're not here.
That's what I was going to say.
But if you'd have it in 2 weeks, then we could say, let's do item A and go on with it, or we can say, let's do item B or whatever. So, sure. Okay.
You know, it seems to me, if I was going to do that, if this is my airport, which I guess we're part owners of, and we had these, had our own engineers here, I would say, hey, take a week off and go to some other airport and see how these things are done. How these tie downs, the lighting.
A whole week?
Hey, a week's cheap, George, to $80,000.
Have you seen Mike's salary?
Well, most of our engineers are juggling a lot of different projects. They don't have a luxury of leaving. I mean, they take their vacation, obviously.
Well, if we give them a bonus, they'd do it for a couple thousand dollars to take a vacation.
I'm telling you,
$80,000.
I think Palm Beach has got an airport you need.
$80,000 is outbid, though, Mike.
You never get that by Susie Webb.
It's just way too much.
I might have to go, too.
Yeah, we'll be
to control the cost.
Okay. Jim, thank you very much.
Thanks.
I think next time before we give them that prior price, they ought to let us know what they're bidding. I don't even think I would have bid for the engineer to do it. $80,000.
Mr. Izzo.
Please don't interrupt me when I'm talking.
I'm sorry, sir. Excuse me, Sam. Mr. Izzo, hold on a second. Mr. Wilson, you agree to hit.
He's not saying it. Mr. President, he's not saying anything.
Say all you want to say.
Let him talk.
You sure? Don't hold it back.
Getting bad at George Cole.
I have to hang up on him. I just tell him I got to go back to work. Sorry, Sam. Bye.
Okay. This is the
potential bid award for the fifth and final contract for the Angola Sanitary Sewer District. It is the largest of the five contracts that we have bid in the past. This will serve the Angola by the Bay subdivision. In Angola by the Bay, there's over 800 existing homes. So we felt that was a good idea to have only one contractor working in the subdivision. That's why, one reason why it's larger than the other contracts that we had bid previously. Also, it's an unusual situation when we were going through the referendum process for the Angola Sewer District. The residents approached us, and they were very interested in replacing their existing water lines. The water system is owned and operated by Tidewater Utilities, and we have Mr. Jeremy Kalmbacker today, who is here representing Tidewater. So what we did is we worked with Tidewater and the state funding agencies, and we worked it out that within this sewer contract, while we had the roads opened up to put the sewer lines in, the contractor would also be under contract to install a new water system with new PVC sewer lines and new meters and things of that nature. So the way that the bid was set up is that it would be one base bid for just the sewer work, but we also had an alternate bid that would include both the sewer and the water work. And the way that the arrangement will be is that Sussex County will contract with the low bidder for the sewer work. Tidewater Utilities would contract with the low bidder for the water work. So even though the total bid in this case, the low bidder was George and Lynch, and that their low bid was $9,969,309, in reality, the county's liability is just for the sewer work, the $7,338,764. We are being funded by the Clean Water Advisory Council for our portion. Tidewater is being funded by public health, or
it's Office of Drinking Water.
It's all Office of Drinking Water. So there will be a separate contract between Sussex County and Georgia Lynch, separate payment bonds, separate performance bonds, and then Tidewater will have the same arrangement with Georgia Lynch. We think this represents the best interest of the residents of Angola by the Bay, and it's been a good working relationship between Sussex County and Tidewater in making this arrangement. And DENREC deserves a lot of credit also because the Office of Drinking Water has different bidding requirements than the Clean Water Advisory Council, but both groups were able to come together and allow us to put together a common set of specifications.
Now, each of them will have inspectors?
In our case, our inspectors will inspect the sewer work. Tidewater's forces will inspect the water work.
There's no way to have some maybe sharing of inspections to save some more costs?
It was discussed, but in Tidewater's case, they preferred to use their own forces.
Okay.
So we're already set up. We're already inspecting all the sewer contracts down there, so there's some economy of scale for us anyway.
Okay, all right.
There aren't any questions. I have a motion I can read.
Do you think, Mike, just a quick question, do you think that, we're starting to see more work being out there is why we kind of missed the engineering estimate on the sewer?
A little bit of that. We only received three bids. Anytime I'm getting fewer bids, some of that is the size of the contract because we went back and forth. Would it be better to have two separate contracts, but then you have more opportunity for having to coordinate within the subdivision, more opportunity for error, more opportunity for missed schedules. So we might have a higher cost liability on the penalty phase. It's kind of a guess. The unit prices did go up a little bit. We were seeing about $70 a linear foot for 8-inch sewer line on our previous bids. This bumped up to about $80. It is a tougher location to work than the other areas in Angola where we're working. That has a lot to do with it. So I'm going to say it's a combination of all those factors. And yeah, there is more work out there competing for our contractors, too.
Thank you.
Was this an in-house engineer?
No. We use Whitman Recwart for the Angola Sewer District.
And what did they charge us for that engineer's estimate?
What did they charge us? Well, they didn't charge us much to put the estimate together because we used the same unit prices that we had been seeing from our previous bids. Basically, what we did was use the actual bids that we received on the previous four Angola bids, and you just plug them into a Excel spreadsheet. So, I mean, if we had plugged $80 a linear foot into the estimate rather than $70, we would have pretty much came up with the same number that George and Lynch bid. The lateral prices bumped up a little bit, too. They were at $33 a foot, where we'd been seeing under $30 a linear foot for lateral installation.
That engineer's cost, is that in the total cost of the bid year, or is that additional to $9 million?
Yeah, it's additional. We executed a contract with Whitman Recwart at the beginning of the design process, and they designed the five contracts.
So actually, when we gave you the okay, we're not really bidding the price of what we paid for the whole job.
You're approving, which you'd be approving the bid award to George and Lynch to do the construction, is what you would be approving.
Whitman Recwart has got an approved contract with us for the design, correct?
Right, and that design is done.
Okay.
Been done for some months.
How much does that cost, do you recall?
That's what I'm looking for.
1.1.
It's typically 7-8% of the.
Yeah, they actually are under budget. If you remember, Susie.
Right, but that doesn't mean that that's billed out, and they are traditionally known to not come to their limit.
And that includes more than just this.
I have
contract.
A spreadsheet upstairs. I just don't know what it is off the top of my head.
You said around 1.1 million is what was approved.
That's just the what was approved, and we've only spent $1 million to date set on all engineering, and the design's done. So that just. And there's other.
I'm
going to
say they were around $700,000 or $800,000 of the 1.1 contract.
But there is more than one construction contract.
There was five.
There was five construction contracts.
And this started off as a $33 million project back before we had money and saved money with the economy. So it's a major project.
And then you'll come back with an inspection contract?
No, that's already, because we're under construction in Angola already, that was approved. Okay. When did we start construction? Was it last fall? Yeah, I'm gonna say it was last fall that the council approved it.
The first one?
Yeah.
American Paving was the first one.
It may have been more in the summertime.
Second one was awarded October 09. First one was probably a little bit before that.
One more question. In light of these bids, in light of this potential winning bid, how does that affect the advertised rates?
If you look on the back sheet of your bid, I have the total of all the construction contracts to date. Even though this one's a little high, the four previous ones were under budget. So we had about $24 million of construction estimated in Yangola, and we're around 21.5, I think.
21.2. 21.2. $3 million under budget.
Yeah.
Under projection.
Right. So even though the fifth contract's a little above overall, I've got it down there at the bottom, under budget, we're about $3 million under the construction estimate that we went to financing. We actually even had a higher rate than this, I think.
Off in 07, what the rates were based on, the project was like a 33.4.
Right.
And then as we realized these construction contracts were coming in lower, we've even revised our numbers down to 29.5 is what our financing's based on now. And because of the timing, we had some leftover grant money and we got some stimulus money. There might be some other things with different kinds of financing that we're looking at doing. So we started off at 33.4, and that's what the rates were based on. So there's just savings.
So the rates
are going to be lower.
Yeah. Rates will be lower.
We anticipate it. With the definitive answer today, but we like to stick with the referendum rates. But it's certainly appearing they're going to get a benefit of a lower rate through all that.
Right.
Read the motion, Mike, please.
Okay. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering consultants Whitman, Ruckwart, and Associates, LLP. The County Engineering Department recommends that Sussex County Project 09-25, Angola Next Sanitary Sewer District, Angola by the Bay, be awarded to George and Lynch of Dover, Delaware, at the alternate bid amount of $9,969,309, which Sussex County is funding $7,338,764, and Tidewater Utilities Incorporated is funding $2,630,545, pursuant to a joint memorandum of understanding, and further that the bid award is contingent upon the receipt approval from the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control and the Rural Utility Service.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the bid award as read by Mr. Izzo. Is there any further discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Colt?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Mr. Ashley.
Do you have any pictures of the kids? We're getting pictures this morning of all these children.
We had a vote on Saturday.
I need a new one for my wallet.
Thank you.
Believe it or not, third birthday's coming.
Oh my God.
Hi.
Oh my gosh.
Morning. For once, I'm actually coming before you for something that doesn't cost you money, at least at this point in time. I'm here this morning to request a resolution for a regional planning study grant for the Angola North area. A resolution is now required from Sussex County Council for us to apply for a planning study grant from the Clean Water Advisory Council. We have multiple projects in the area in various stages of completion and design. And we actually now have interest from an existing commercial parcel that's looking for a regional option for dealing with future wastewater and treatment of their disposal of their system. We also have a proposal from CABE Associates to perform the planning study in the amount of $40,543.67. The study will confirm the size of the drainage basin for new projects and existing homes to be served. We have met with CABE Associates and the developers or their representatives to discuss this study and the options for grant money. The grant money is based on a 50% match, estimated about $20,272. And Sussex County believes that the projects or the developers would be liable for that 50% match. To date, we have received letters from three of the six projects citing a desire to proceed with the request for grant. And two of those projects have actually committed additional funds if necessary to complete the match money required. On Friday, we received a call from Peddler's Village, which is this small project here at the end of Camp Arrowhead Road, actually stating that they would actually be interested in taking part of this study as well. We received a fax from them on Monday with their letter stating interest in participating and willingness to pay a portion of the planning study match. The three projects that we do not have letters from yet are all owned by the same developer who is doing some discussions with his engineers and land planners. Basically, he's a little farther ahead on two of his projects, and he's just basically feeling out whether he's comfortable. That is one of the reasons that the other two projects actually were willing to commit extra funds to do the study. The projects that we have, this is a property called the Vessels. This is Novacell, which I think these are both have been approved through council. This is Marsh Farm, which I'm not sure you've seen anything on that yet. This is Marsh Island, which is the existing golf course, which has proposals for townhouses. This is a project, Pelican Landing. That's a commercial project up on Route 24. And this is a project, the Boat Hole, which is out at Love Creek and on the marina. They have a proposal, actually, that they're working on that is for a hotel, I think a restaurant, and redoing the marina. We have not seen the plans on that yet, but they have been a willing participant in this.
Where does the sewer stop on there? Aren't we up here to Love Creek anywhere?
This blue is actually our Angola border. This is the district we're working on now. Uh-huh. Our sewer will stop right about here. We have some 18-inch gravity in Camp over here, 18-inch gravity in Camp Arrowhead Road. We're looking that possibly the majority of this section may come down Camp Arrowhead Road, and these guys may end up going out Robinsonville Road. But that's why we need the planning studies, to see where that break is, where they can bring the flow from.
How does that figure with the Tidewater, Wannondale project?
Well, the crosshatched area you see here is what is the lands proposed as Wannondale's facility. Mm-hmm. That sort of reduces some EDUs that we had in this area, and we're sort of stretching those up this way. We have plans for all this area, but this may change our plans as to how that flow will go.
Mm-hmm. Explain again, John, what would you just say? This the area with the hatch lines on it there? That's
the proposed Wannondale facilities.
For sewer plant.
Conditional use was granted to them for a treatment plant.
Spray
and ribs.
And that's owned by Tidewater.
Yes.
And the yellows are where we've had requests.
Yellows are projects that we know are out there, and we have requests. We have actually letters from this property, and this property, and this one.
And if they were approved based on getting sewer from where?
I think everything's approved on getting sewer from us, but there's a strange little hiccup on the vessels somehow done as being an on-site system. I'm not sure how that.
I
think that somebody read some wording in one of our letters a little backwards, and it's somehow approved with an on-site system. But I think that if we go in and say we've got sewer here, and he's actually stated that, you know, if a county system is capable of serving his property, that he'd be, you know, more than willing to come that way and be a participant.
Are any of these other areas experiencing any kind of problems that we have or are aware of there?
We know Peddler's Village is having a problem. They've been having a problem for years. They've been hauling, and they're on a sort of an...
On the other side of Love Creek, going towards 24, going towards Route 1.
Yes.
Is there sewer to that project in there? Did sewer come down 24?
Am I correct? Is that Hart's Landing?
To the school?
To the school. But I believe this might be Hart's Landing, which is, I believe, an artesian project.
So they've got some kind of on-site system.
Yeah, correct.
So a study is being paid for by the people in the yellow?
50% match from them and a 50% match from Clean Water Advisory Council.
But, I mean, you've got so much vacant land there, and if we do this, we will basically start encouraging, I guess, you know, more development in this rural area.
Well, I think we would need to, once the study is done, we'd sort of need to manipulate a boundary of what we would want to include in the district, not necessarily bringing in some of those large vacant areas. But then again,
area in the environmentally sensitive development district.
It's all in the environmentally sensitive developing district. It's all in our planning areas. Basically, if anybody comes in there with a project, our statements are going to be that they have to come to the county for sewer. Mm-hmm. So.
And the Windermere or whatever it's called, is that who are they going to serve?
Wandendale can only serve projects outside of our planning areas.
They're counting on 10,000 users. I wonder where they're going to get them.
They've got them scattered out there.
I guess so.
This looks like it's scattered. What they're doing is scattered. It just seems that it doesn't seem like good planning when everything's so scattered.
Well, it's all within our planning area. We don't have the map that shows all the lines.
Right. And this is probably one of the last spots along behind the bay there to get sewer. I mean, as we go around,
we have an area between Long Neck and Angola that's unserved, the Hermit Creek area is unserved. And then on the other, as you mentioned,
from Love,
on the other side of Love Creek, we call it the Gosley
Creek plan area.
And on the south side of the bay, Vine Creek area is not served either.
What do I want to do? Oh, I don't know. I'm not crazy about it. I mean, I just know that when we put in the big sewer systems, it's a big throttle for, you know, excessive development in environmentally sensitive.
Well, basically what we're looking for here, we're not actually saying that we're bringing this entire area in. We're not saying we're annexing this area. Mm-hmm. What we're looking for is this planning study to tell these people how they can get their projects served.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to take all those we're not going to come up with a plan that shows all these vacant fields that are now being tilled. Putting that tilled field, that white stuff, into a sewer district.
That is not our intention at this point in time. If we come up with a solution from this planning study that just serves sort of these three, we bring in a boundary that just brings them down. Mm-hmm. If this can come in, we may have to come some sort of path to get them contiguous to get them into the district. But as far as just grabbing the whole area, probably not.
But it appears to me to bring these scattered sites all together into a line that will then go out and be, you know, disposed of it or site there. It's awful expensive, and it's cost prohibitive for any, you know, even for those few to do it, I guess. I don't know. I just see
that. One of the benefits of doing this, though, is that there's an area, and I don't know if it's well shown, but between the Blue and Rehoboth Bay, has a lot of interest in SOAR down there from Joy Beach and a lot of individual homeowners that are down there.
Oh, they got problems.
Septics.
Yeah.
And this will install infrastructure that they can piggyback on.
That'd be good.
So there is some benefit to those folks.
Yeah. I mean, right now, as it's proposed, there would probably be a large regional pump station built up here and one built down in this area. Those are large regional systems that if these developers put in, we don't have to install at a later date. These guys mm-hmm. from
so
Joy Beach.
For this study right now, no county funds?
No county funds.
Mm-hmm. So no risk.
And where will this go to? What's your plant?
Well, that will go to Inland Bays.
Inland Bays.
You have a motion, Mr. Ashby?
I have a resolution.
Resolution.
Just the title?
Yes, sir.
Resolution to submit a request for a regional wastewater planning grant to the Clean Water Advisory Council for matching funds to finance a planning study for the Angola North area.
I'll make the motion. A resolution.
A second approved resolution read by Mr. Ashman. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. West?
Thank you. Only one grant today, Delmar Middle and Senior High School.
Did they make a specific amount request?
No, not specific. They want to raise $10,000.
$1,000 from my account.
Second.
Make that motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second by Mr. Cole. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. There are
nobody around?
Introduction proposed ordinances, Mr. Moore?
There are none, Mr. President.
No additional business from the public. Does council have anything before I ask for a
I wonder how my colleagues feel about that fact that pensioners are restricted if they are elected to county position, that they're restricted in what they can, their pay. They can't receive any pension while they're in office, or they can't receive the pay. I wonder how folks feel about that.
What is the law? I don't because familiarize me. Well, that ever
we're the only county that does that.
Yes, under the county code, if you are an elected official and you are a pensioner, a retired employee from the county, during the time that you serve in that elected position, you do not get your county pension unless you agree to serve your office for no salary.
Is that constitutional? I mean, you make a contract with a pensioner, and then you tell them they can't receive their pension while they're elected office?
Joan, that's the business of being a servant to the county. If you don't want to be a servant, then you ought not run for the job.
It does not state that they cannot run. It does not state they can't be elected, but they cannot draw a salary from the county at the same time they're getting a pension.
Are elected officials considered employees of the county?
I have not looked at the exact definition of that. However, the code, I believe, is specific that says if you're for the elective office during such a period of time as you're holding the county elective office, you cannot get that salary. Can't get the pension and the salary.
But you're allowed to choose.
You can choose.
Yeah, you can give up.
Well, obviously, the salary would be more than the pension, right? But then as soon as they quit being a elected official, then they get back their pension and everything.
Well, I think we're giving up.
Would their pension be enhanced because of the X number more years they had with the county?
To be honest with you, I do not know that.
I don't know.
It's under 26.8 of the Sussex County Employment Restrictions for Pensioners, and it reads specifically, no person while receiving a pension under this chapter shall be employed by the government of Sussex County or any department or agency of said government in any capacity other than part-time for no more than 520 hours in any one calendar year, unless elected by popular vote and elected. And during such elected term, he shall not be entitled to a pension unless he serves such term of office without pay. Persons eligible to receive survivor's benefits are excluded from this restriction.
We're the only county that does that.
Somebody said, I guess.
We're the only county that has our budget balance, too, Joe.
Mr. Baker, planning and zoning commissioners are considered contract employees getting 1099s?
Yes, they are.
They are.
County council members have FICA taken out. And
you're considered employees.
We're considered employees. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I guess you could see someone retiring from the county taking a pension and then coming back to the county as an employee. Are they allowed to continue to get their pension if they come back in as a clerk in the sheriff's department?
Well, only if they're part-time.
Right.
They're allowed to work.
So if I retire, if I quit here and then got a job, like Sam got me a job here with the county, like he does with all his other relatives,
yep.
then I wouldn't be able to collect the pension. I'd fall under that rule that
part-time.
Right. That would be suspended.
Now, if I quit and took off a couple of years and came back as a county councilman, same thing would happen? If I quit and I was eligible for a pension and I got reelected again in a couple of years or something, the same thing would happen, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
Be
rehired
again.
Right? Be rehired. So, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that just rules that out. I'm not going to come back.
Good idea.
Any motion to
go to executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
Second by Mr. Wilson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are you going to go?
I think we ought to buy a bunch of affordable housing.
We can move. I better not say
for the councilman.
Better not say it.
No, I'm not going. I don't want to mess.